As we continue to read from the Acts of the Apostles during Easter, today we hear this speech from Peter in that first reading. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he proclaims that the crippled man who was healed in the name of Jesus. And he goes on to say that there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. That's an important statement. There's no other name by which we are to be saved. Now we look around the world and we see that it's a veritable marketplace of religions and philosophies, most of which contradict each other, at least to some degree. There are points of agreement, but then there are inevitably points of disagreement. Which one is true? Can many of them be true? Are any of them true? Do some of them have pieces of the truth and then aspects that aren't true? Well, Peter is convinced. What Peter says about only going to Jesus proves to us that he's convinced. And it's an important statement otherwise, because I think we understand explicitly how this works. And I think there's some good analogies to be made here. When there is an emergency, who are we taught to call? We call 911, right? What happens if I dial 784? Nothing's going to happen. What if I dial a random number from the phone book? Well, someone might answer. I might get a voicemail. Maybe it's a disconnected number. Even if I did get somebody, there's no guarantee that they'd be able to help. Who did I call? Some random person? A closed business? Don't take chances. Just call 911. We are taught to call 911 when there's an emergency. And there will always, the expectation is that there's always somebody there to answer it. So Peter firmly believes there's no one else to call for salvation than Jesus. It's only through Jesus that anyone gets to heaven. When we get sick or we get injured, we go to a doctor. We want to find somebody who knows what they're doing, of course. Because there is an objective truth about what will heal people. There are standardized practices developed over the medical sciences over many years and accepted by people in the medical profession. And there's a good way and there's a bad way of doing medicine. There's a right way and a wrong way of setting a bone or of taking blood. And so we want to avoid the quacks who don't know how to do it or who think, well, I'll make it up as I go along. There's a right way and a wrong way of wiring a house for electricity. We don't want somebody who doesn't follow the instructions, doesn't know what they're doing, or is making up as they go along. We don't want the house to burn down. So we find somebody who knows what they're doing. What Peter says about Jesus is a little like this. There are sicknesses of the spirit, just as well as there are sicknesses of the body. And they can also lead to death. And there is also healing for spiritual sicknesses. We all have, fears or spiritual sicknesses or fears that perhaps our lives are meaningless or pointless, or that suffering has no ultimate purpose to it, or that there's nothing in life, there's nothing to life except for what we make of it, or that there's nothing beyond it, or I've got no actual mission in life. We can have these fears, these sicknesses, these bad understandings of our own lives, of our own universe, and of our own purpose in it. Jesus knows what our needs are, especially when we get into these sicknesses or these depressions. And Jesus has the remedy for them. St. Augustine famously tried everything to take care of his own spiritual sicknesses, his own out-of-control desires, his own fears. And after trying it all, he tried everything. He ultimately says, our hearts are restless until they rest in you, Lord. You're the only one who could satisfy those things. Christ has a power to heal that nobody else does, that no other philosophy can satisfy, that no other religion can satisfy. And so Peter, in this speech, in the Acts of the Apostles here, he clarifies this for the Jewish people that he's talking to. It's not that he's not Jewish. He is. But he has recognized with Jesus the next step in God's plan. And so he's sticking with Jesus. He's the only one he's going to call upon. For Peter, without Jesus, Judaism isn't complete. So it's not that there isn't truth in other religions or in other philosophies. There are. And it's very easy to find them. For instance, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Golden rule. Easy. That lives in lots of philosophies and lots of religions. And I'm glad that it does, because I like believing true things, and I like that other people believe true things. I am in favor of the truth. But even quack doctors can be right sometimes. Well, it seems that you have high blood pressure and are dealing with a lot of stress. So I recommend 5 cigarettes a day. Wait, what? I was with you for most of that, and then until I realized that you were a doctor from the 50s. This Peter is not willing to settle for just some truths, for just partial truths, and the possibility that someone might pick up when he calls. When he calls needing to be saved from the powers of hell. No, he's certain that it's ultimately only Jesus. He's known the guy for a long time. Peter has known Jesus for quite a while. And so he trusts him. And he knows that there's no one else to call. And he knows that he will answer. He knows that, and really Peter's the only one who is in the best position to explain this truth, that there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Peter has experienced this because he knows Jesus so well, the guy who forgave him when he ran away, who picked him up when he fell down, who picked him up when he was sinking into the water. Peter has known Jesus. If I can't trust Peter's testimony here, that Jesus is the only one who we need to call, there's no other better testimony to take than Peter's.